welcome to Coffee House Shots, where we've just had the results of the various amendments on Theresa May's Brexit plan, and there were a few surprises. Perhaps most striking, however, was the fact that Graham Brady's amendment did pass by a whole 16 votes. Isabel, you were in the chamber for that. Did you sense there was some surprise on the Conservative benches?
Well, you always watch the Chief Whip's face very carefully during these votes, and Julian Smith has looked progressively more and more stressed out over the past few weeks, which is entirely understandable. He actually looked sort of slightly green as he came into the chamber, almost like he'd spent the whole afternoon stuck in one of those sort of topsy-turvy ghost house of horrors that you have at fun fairs, except he hadn't had any fun at all. So it strikes me as being quite a surprise to him as well, and clearly that he was working right up to the wire to try to work out the numbers for this.
James, in a way, this has been quite a good evening for the government, because we have seen the no-deal amendments, the Yvette Cooper amendment, which the government were very worried about, hasn't passed. That had a legislative effect. The Spellman amendment did pass, which means that the Commons have said they don't like no-deal, but it only has political weight, and now the Brady amendment has gone through.
Tonight was a night better than Theresa May could have dreamed of last night. I mean, seriously, there's an Israeli phrase, no hope, and that is what they will be feeling in Downing Street right now, because they have got a plan that they have. Okay, it's a bit rickety, it's a bit ramshackled, it's a bit jerry-rigged, but they've got a plan that unites the Tory party, that they can take back to Brussels and say, look, when we told you the backstop was the problem, we were right, because our plan, which takes the backstop out and replace it with alternative arrangements, has passed the House of Commons. And at the same time, the Yvette Cooper Amendment, which I think EU diplomats thought, as I thought, you know, a few days ago, was pretty much bound to pass, has failed. So the only no-deal amendment that has passed is the kind of toothless one. It doesn't have an enforcement mechanism. And it's relatively comfortable for Theresa May to say, well, I don't want to leave with a deal, so why don't you vote for my deal if that's the best way to prevent no-deal? So Theresa May has something now. You know, there was a real danger that she could have been sent, you know, back into a negotiating chamber with nothing to say and with the EU just saying, well, we know your MPs are going to force you to extend Article 50. So why should we bother offering you anything at all? She now has something. Now, this doesn't mean that she is guaranteed to get anything. That is a long way off. But she has something to push for. I mean, there's also something important about the margin. There's 16 votes. You know, the EU was saying earlier today that, you know, it had to be a stable majority. And I think if Brady had passed by 2 votes or 4 votes, it would have been so easy for them to just dismiss it and say, oh, come on, you really think this is going to hold together when they see the details of a compromise. But she's now got something where she can say, look, 16 votes, you know, that in our parliamentary system is not that uncomfortable a margin. And I think you also saw something else, which is what one might call the Rees-Mogg-McCluskey strategy. So today was the Rees-Mogg bit, getting the Tory party on board. And now comes the McCluskey bit, which you saw in that emphasis in her statement straight afterwards, which wasn't triumphalist, on workers' rights, protections, all those things. And I think that their hope is that as the clock ticks down towards March 29th, and there isn't a kind of guaranteed way for removing no deal from the table, they can begin to bring over some Labour MPs in leave voting seats or seats with big manufacturing industry. And those MPs, the win they get is to say, look, you know, I prevented the chaos of no deal that would have hit this town very hard. And they can also point some stuff on workers' rights. While at the same time, she gets enough on the backstop to kind of hold her own party and the DUP together. Now, again, none of this is easy. And no one should think that tonight Theresa May is kind of guaranteed success. But she's still there. She's still going. The great survivor still has another chance. And considering that she lost that first meaningful vote by 230, considering that yesterday the ERG said, oh, we're not going to vote for the Brady Amendment, even though it's what many of us have been saying that we want. You know, tonight she is in a much better position than she was after she lost the meaningful vote, and in a much better position than she was last night when she addressed her parliamentary party. She has a chance.
Now, not to be too much of a misery guts in this podcast, but if we do look at the numbers of those who voted for the Brady Amendment, all the, you know, European research group did in the end, but it was very caveated approval that they gave to it. We know yesterday they were saying they probably wouldn't vote for it. Then there was today the Malthouse Compromise, which lays out specifically what the ERG want to see, taking what the ERG were proposing on the backstop back in December. And Theresa May said in the chamber today that's something she was going to consider as an option. Now, Brussels have already suggested that they hate that option, and the ERG have made clear that they can withdraw the support at any time. So, Isabel, is a flaw in this that ultimately Conservative MPs and the DUP have united around a position that doesn't actually exist?
I mean, I think, as James said, the focus over the past few days, certainly today, has been on keeping the Conservative Party together and on ensuring Theresa May's survival to fight another day. And she did look, she wasn't triumphalist in the Commons, but she did look pretty happy to be kind of kicking the can down the road again, because there's still another big question, as you say, which is Brussels actually going to agree to what she's demanding from them now? And it's all very well saying, well, I'm going to bring Jack Dromey in for talks and that sort of thing, but actually we've sort of moved on beyond the cross-party side of things now and over to Brussels, and there's no evidence so far that that's going to change. The only thing is, as James says, that the number by which that Brady vote passed does give May the confidence to go and ask for it, which I think is important.
I don't think the EU are going to think, oh, right, that's passed the Commons, so now we must rip up the backstop and replace it with an alternative arrangement. But I think it becomes harder for them to say, oh, we're completely not interested in talking to you. Well, I think if Brady had failed and Cooper had passed, they could just have been like, yeah, whatever with your backstop stuff. She now has a chance of getting an audience. And I think one of the other things about this process is she has tonight proved something that Brussels said was not the case. Their argument, the Barnier argument, was, oh, you don't, if you 230 vote defeat, that suggests this isn't the backstop. I'm very happy to rewrite the political declaration to point to a softer Brexit. That'll get it through Parliament. She can now say, look, my Parliament has shown that the backstop is the problem, so we've got to talk about the backstop. That doesn't mean that Brussels is going to talk about the backstop or that it wants to talk about the backstop. But it does give her a chance, and I think that their hope will be that you'll begin to get a few more countries, you know, putting their head above the parapet and saying, really, are we really not going to talk about the backstop at all? And because no deal has not come off the table, because Cooper hasn't passed, that contradiction you've seen from the EU and the Irish, which has caused them such problems in the last 10 days, which is the backstop is the obstacle to a deal, but the one thing that guarantees a hard border on the island of Ireland is no deal, that becomes more apparent. And so I don't mean by any means this is going to be easy, or that it's got a kind of, you know, that it's got a 50% or even a one-third chance of success. But she has got something that she can push on now. I mean, the danger for her was, a few hours ago, it looked like she was going to have nothing to say. She was basically just going to have to turn up and say, oh, yeah, the Brady Amendment failed, but maybe if we actually had the real change, I could get it passed. That was never going to fly as a negotiating position. She now has a position that least she can deliver with a straight face.
Now, ahead of tonight's vote, we heard that we might get some resignations from the Cabinet, from those who are veering towards Remain, who wanted to vote for Yvette Cooper's amendment. In the end, Theresa May said that she would be back to the House by the 13th of February if a Brexiter hadn't passed in that time, perhaps optimistic, and would come up with an alternative plan which perhaps staves some off rebelling. Isabel, do you think that come the 13th of February onwards, if there isn't a firm plan which has a majority, we will see a higher number of MPs ready to vote for something like the Yvette Cooper amendment?
I think she'll be lucky if she gets those MPs to trust her for that long, actually, given how little trust there is in the Prime Minister and her own party, and given how easy it is to voice dissent openly now. I'm still, I have to say, today's been very busy in lots of ways, but I'm still reeling from hearing Richard Harrington this morning talking on the Today programme about how the Prime Minister only has 2 weeks and then he'll resign. This has sort of become unremarkable because of the times we're in, but it's extraordinary that you have a serving minister saying that sort of thing in an interview, let alone that he then went on to talk about some kind of super toy, which made that most of us listening wonder if we were actually still asleep. But there is very little trust in the Prime Minister, and she has basically had to rely once again on the trust that her backbenchers have in one another rather than in her for tonight.
I don't mean to alarm Brenda from Bristol, but I think one thing that has increased as a possibility tonight, today, is an early election. One of the arguments against an early election was, what on earth would the Tory party say on Brexit? They now have something that they can all broadly coalesce around as a position. And I'm not saying an election is going to happen, but it means that I think if she was forced into a position where she felt that, you know, she will now feel, I'm not saying that she will want it, but an early election is a less hideous prospect for the Tories than it was. Because previously you were faced with a position of having to kind of deselect half the parliamentary party, which would look ridiculous. But now she can say, this is the position, is the Brady Amendment now is Tory party policy. And, you know, with a few exceptions, we can all accept that. And so that does give her a policy. I'm not saying that is where we are heading, but I think that has now become a live possibility in perhaps the way it wasn't previously.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Isabel. And we'll be back tomorrow with all the twists and turns from the aftermath of that vote. And apologies if you had a bit of background noise. We're in the Moncrief's cafeteria, brought to you directly. And finally, I think we have an offer we need to tell you about, which I'm going to rely on my co-interviewees for. You still have a chance to go for an unbelievably good value offer. Where, Isabel, we will?
You get 12 issues of The Spectator for just £12 and a free £20 John Lewis voucher. Ta-da!
And because I'm a bad saleswoman, where do people need to go to get that?
Oh, they need to go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Great. Join us again tomorrow.